I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? So we have a great podcast ahead of us, but before we hop into it, just want a little house cleaning. It's also, this will be, you know, it seems sad to say, but it's the last Must Hear Music podcast.
It's sad to say.
You know, all good things must come to an end. Life is changed. There's no way of getting around that. Nothing lasts forever, yada, yada, et cetera. No, but in all seriousness, Billboard, we're kind of revamping and reimagining a lot of our podcasts. So Jason does this wonderful first stream every Friday, which maybe you've seen on Billboard.com. And that is going to kind of evolve into its own exciting
podcast. I can't really speak too much, but basically there's going to be a new incarnation of like a new Music Friday show coming that's going to be an extension of our weekly new music roundup called First Stream that goes up every Friday on Billboard.com. So we're really excited about that at Billboard, and it's one of those things where we love our listeners and we just want to better serve them in terms of just like people who are interested in being up on the newest music. So I think Billboard, as Joe said, is kind of revamping and rethinking some of those things. Unfortunately, one of the byproducts of that is that this show in its current incarnation is coming to a close, but it's certainly not.
It's been 5 years, though. I mean, like, you know, it's sad in a way, but it's also like 5 years is a good
it's
run.
Lasting,
like
things
can't
time.
Last forever.
I literally left the company and came back.
And you left the company and came back, and this
music.
Podcast was still going on. I mean,
this podcast has been here for as long as I've been at Billboard. It's all I know.
I thought you were going to say alive.
Also that.
Basically.
Five-year-old Lindsay Havens.
Yeah. We started out on SoundCloud.
I know.
Podomatic. We're on Acast now. Those are just some behind-the-scenes terms.
Yeah. Everyone was wondering.
Everyone wanted to know.
And you know, we're doing other podcasts. I'm probably going to be co-hosting a different one. We're starting up in the upcoming weeks.
What?
Lindsay, your voice is going to be gracing some of the podcasts.
Yes, so I've let my voice.
If you need to hear these voices, they'll be around. Exciting things coming up. And, you know, the closing of a chapter. But might as well send it off in style. And by
Absolutely.
In style, I mean pretty much just doing the same thing we do every time. Nothing really all
that
special.
Seems right.
Actually, before we hop into it, though, quick life update. So Billboard's inaugural Pride Summit last week was fucking awesome, which was so fantastic. So it's our second annual Pride issue this year, which the cover stars were Hailey Kiyoko, Adam Lambert, Tegan Quinn of Tegan and Sarah, Isle of McConan, and Big Frida. And so then this was our first annual Pride Summit, which was a meeting of LGBTQ executives and artists in Los Angeles for a day of programming. The panels were there was a headliners panel. There was the cast of Pose was there, which was incredible because I adored that show. We had an emerging artist one, a songwriters panel that I moderated, which was really, really fun. It was Justin Tranter, Teddy Geiger, Victoria Monet, and Shane McAnally, who have all written some huge Hot 100 hits and many number ones, actually, amongst all of them. And you were there, Jason. What do you think about it? You enjoyed
it? Honestly,
it was
such a cool kind of coming together from so many different voices within the music industry and outside of the music industry. And unfortunately, it sucks. I didn't get to see your panel.
What?
Which really sucks because I was stationed in the green room.
Joe flew you out himself.
Right?
The reason I didn't see it is because, I didn't want to support you, obviously.
I get that,
No, but I got tied up and I regrettably missed it. I obviously heard great things about it, but it was also cool because I was stationed in the green room. It was just cool, like, seeing you hang with Justin Tranter and Teddy Geiger and Victoria Monet. Mm-hmm. Like, these are, like, some of the biggest songwriters in all of music. And they were just, like, hanging out and talking about, you know, important issues. That was really cool. I mean, it was obviously kudos to the team behind programming this event and pulling this all together because I know it was not easy. And also just kudos to you guys, like you and our colleague Stephen Daw and Nolan Feeney and Ian Drew and Alexis Fish,
who's our Pride VP. She did a fantastic job pulling all this together.
Yeah, and I'm just naming the moderators
right.
of the panels, or at least a handful of the moderators. But everyone did such a tremendous job of, you know, not only presenting different issues, but also keeping it fun. Like, it was a really fun mm-hmm. event. Steven's drag queen roundtable was hilarious.
It was remarkable.
Yeah, man. I mean, congrats. And if you haven't, also a quick plug, if you haven't seen some of this stuff, please go to billboard.com, check out everything from the Pride Summit, because it really is worth your time.
Yes, it was fantastic. And Lindsay, you just didn't care. You were like, you know what? Not
totally.
Interested.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. Bye.
Totally checked out. Didn't even know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sounds amazing, though.
All right. Well, let's do ostensibly what we're here for, which is to talk about new music. I'm trying to think what's a good starter.
I think we have to go with Taylor. Or Miley.
Sure. I mean, that I was waffling. Let's do Taylor.
Yeah.
So we have new Taylor Swift song that came out today, Lover. It is the title track of her new album, Lover. This is, I think, the fourth song we've heard from it. Yes.
Yeah.
I've actually really liked all of what we've heard so far, although I have, you know, I'm not saying I'm in love with all the songs.
You're
I'm not
a
lover of all these songs, but I'm into them in their different ways.
Uh-huh.
I am so, so happy with this song. I mean, I love Taylor, but also, like, when I heard the name of the album was Lover, I was kind of like, it seems like a little too on the nose for her.
Yeah.
Like, a little, it's just such a, like, general, like, almost a too expansive term. But this is, like, the detailed Taylor Swift lyricist that, like, I fell in love with on the first place from, like, her second album. I admittedly was not really aware of her first album when it came out. Like, there's just so many, like, wonderful turns of phrase. There's a part where she says, with every guitar string scar on my hand, I take this magnetic force of a man to be my lover. Like, those are just, like, you hear that and you can, like, see it. You see her fingers. You see her with this guy.
Yep.
It, you know, it's like it's poetic. It brings it to you. You can immediately picture it. And then, you know, like cute wordplay, like she's talking about them getting together with kind of like playing off the wedding thing. She's saying, my heart's been borrowed. Yours has been blue. It's, you know, fun little quirky thing there. And then, you know, it's just like the subdued piano. It's nice, but she's still kind of doing the like the high harmony oohs and ahs that mm-hmm. is kind of a hallmark of her pop era. It's just a nice combination of kind of like old Taylor songcraft and songwriting and kind of this more, I guess, you know, like more immaculate sound that she's been working on the last few albums.
But also this is like the most lo-fi sounding recording, especially compared to the other singles that she's released, I think.
Yeah, I mean, definitely compared to like You Need to Calm Down.
Yeah, which was interesting. But Dan and I were saying, like, I think that's what the song needed based on the lyrical content and the message.
Wait, you were talking about this with Dan Rice?
Sure was.
Wow.
I always forget that Taylor Swift is on
here.
Dan's radar. Yeah, one, that Dan exists.
Shout out to news director of Billboard. Yeah. Dan Rice.
He just, you know, you don't peg him as a Swiftie. And then when
I
he
know.
Starts, like, talking about Taylor, I'm like, oh, yeah, you actually do. He has thoughts.
Quick aside, I went to a Broadway show last night.
What?
And
what was it?
The Jake Gyllenhaal one, Seawall of Life.
Oh, I actually really want to see that.
Very, very good. When I got out of the theater, I had four, I believe, text messages from Dan all about Applebee's and their endless fries. So shout out to Dan.
Yikes.
That doesn't sound appealing.
That's so weird, though, because Dan and I were at Turk's Inn, so he must have been texting you during our fine dining experience.
I did think, I was like, didn't you go out with Lindsay tonight, Dan? Anyway.
Wow, so rude.
Back to Taylor. to jump in, I'm sorry to preemptively, you guys were talking.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Dan. He's a Swiftie. I love this song a lot. I think what you really hit the nail on the head, Joe, when you said that it evokes her old material, but it's not a country song. Like it evokes her old material because she is such a skilled songwriter, and the first few Taylor albums were so detailed in lyrically, and she's moved away from that a little bit.
Yeah.
You listen to a song like Me, and she's just not focused on that whatsoever.
Yeah, it's very maximalist. Sound and lyrics.
But I think that that part of her hasn't gone away, even though she hasn't focused wholly on that anymore. It's a great reminder, and you know, she wrote the song solo, and then she co-produced it with Jack Antonoff. Like, I think it's very, like you said, minimal. Doesn't really get in the way of her voice or of her words, and I think it's, you know, those are still great things to have front and center.
Yeah.
It feels like a good partner to New Year's Day.
It kind of reminded me of New Year's Day in my head, too.
Sorry, a fly flew into my
drink.
Yeah, it
was, okay, yeah.
I didn't know what you were doing.
I see the fly now, but when you were like, it seemed like you were doing an incantation over
your cup. Sort of
also
creating
that,
a potion.
Also that.
And I was sort of like, what the hell? Yeah.
You can't bring me anywhere.
Yeah. Without something occult happening.
Obviously.
Classic Lindsay.
But yes, this does seem like a very good partner or like a chapter two to New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Also, is she living with Joe? I had to write this down so I remember to ask this very important question.
I'm not living with her now.
Well, that's a bummer for you. But what about her boyfriend?
Oh, that guy. I don't know. I honestly,
there's so many lyrics that speak to like a shared home and like their living
kind of
room.
It does kind of sound like that. I have to say, you know, as much as I really do like her, I kind of,
you don't care.
I do tune out the personal stuff. I don't care. Like, almost because it's talked about so much, it's like annoying at this point. Like,
I feel like her personal stuff isn't talked about relationship.
But with, like, the tabloids, I mean. Like, there's just, like...
I guess.
And I don't mean annoying on her part. Like, she doesn't talk
about
it.
Yeah, she's actually,
like
pretty good
about it.
People
are so obsessed with it that I'm just kind of like, I don't... Whatever.
You don't
like,
care.
It's fine. I just want the music to be good.
Fair.
Joe's tabloid headline. Taylor Swift, Joe Alwyn, it's fine. Let's move on.
Let's focus on the music.
Let's go.
Exactly. But yeah, whatever. So to answer your question, I have no idea.
Don't know, don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Don't know, don't care. Let's listen to it. Taylor Swift, Lover, title track from her upcoming album. Can we always be this close? Forever and ever alive. Take me out and take me home. You're my Lover. Alright, that was new Taylor. Let's do a Lipschitz pick.
Heyo.
Let's hit up the Miley, new Miley Cyrus, Slide Away.
I love this song.
Yeah, so Slide Away, great new Miley Cyrus song. Obviously, the sad news is that Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth, their marriage is ending, and was announced last week, basically, this is kind of a reaction to that in the same way Lindsay and I were talking about it earlier today, and in a similar way that Ariana kind of immediately or semi-immediately put out a song called Thank You Next, which is number one after her relationship with Pete Davidson ended. And so basically the chain of events was, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you already know, Miley Cyrus and Liam break up. A couple days later, Miley Cyrus posts a photo of herself in the studio. A couple days later, here we have a Slide Away. I think that
it feels like so orchestrated, whether or not it is. It's just, it's insane.
You know, I I think that Miley, it's interesting. I think that Miley has had just professionally a very promising year. I really liked the She Is Coming EP. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about We talked about that.
I love that EP.
Yeah, we did. I think we talked about Father's Daughter. Or no.
Mother's Daughter.
Mother's Daughter.
Whatever. Yeah. Mother's Daughter.
And Catitude.
And Catitude. We talked about
We talked about Catitude, which
I'm
is, I still
into,
hate.
Big into so Catitude. Good.
But also, like, the Black Mirror stuff, Ashley O,
right.
Honor Roll is the jam of 2019. And yeah, so you know, the one missing link of this is like a hit single. Even though
sure.
I've enjoyed Mother's Daughter and On a Roll, and she's kind of diversified her brand and has played some shows, she hasn't really had that kind of radio presence with this rollout. And which is fine, but I do wonder if this is the one to kind of impact that. Mm-hmm. She hasn't had it. It's funny. It's been a minute since she's had a hit. Nothing Breaks Like a Heart was like, it was
I
like
still
a
still don't understand how that wasn't
decent.
Bigger.
I know.
Yeah, right? I love
what
that.
A
love
great
that
song. Song. What a great song. I mean, it was a pretty big hit. It was a huge hit overseas.
You were playing that song, and then I came in an hour later and you'd switched to Brian McKnight.
Yeah, that's true.
Just I Things want everybody to know that. Yeah.
That was Wednesday. That
you
was,
must have been very sad.
Yeah. Nothing Breaks Like a Heart and then back at one. Anyway, great song. I think that it's really sad. Like, this is a really sad song in the sense of, like, those hoping for, like, juicy details are going to be disappointed because this song is basically, like, we're not 17 anymore, which is the age where they met.
Yeah.
We've drifted apart. We need to, you know, this hurts, but it's the reality. Like, it's kind of devastating, but it's also something that's familiar to, you know, anyone who's been in a relationship where you're with someone for a long time and you change as people and drift apart. So it's just, you know, while the context is very tabloidy,
mm-hmm.
The song itself is just really sad and really good and really effective. So
yeah, I love this song. Like you said, we were talking earlier about it. See?
The fly entered my cup for a millisecond.
It's a thirsty fly.
This is what the listeners are going to miss.
Obviously. Right. Our fun banter.
The Where's the fly now, they yeah. wondered while listening.
Give this fly an Instagram account. Honestly.
Yes.
What Jason and I were talking about earlier is like this concept, which I love. You came up with the term tabloid pop.
Yeah,
which I like stand so strongly behind, and I really want to write about this now because I think Ariana started it, where like you have more of an ability now to record music in real time and put it out faster mm-hmm. than ever. And we're seeing people take advantage of that when something is happening. Like the new no comment is like, wait for the song.
Yeah.
Like Miley hasn't even put out a statement yet, you know, but like here she is with this single.
She did have an Instagram. You
know,
oh,
what? Sure, sure. But
it's about
nothing
being
like
on a mountain and things change and the mountain used to be underwater and now it's above water. And
okay, fine. There's no like PR stance
sure.
on it
yeah.
because I think this is more effective
right. totally.
And has a bigger impact. And I was like, even Halsey kind of did this when she put out Without Me about G-Eazy.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something going on there that I'm fascinated by.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I said three's a trend, so I can officially write about this now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the rule.
Yay. But yeah, I love this song. I'm actually curious to see if it will be on the EP. Something tells me.
Right.
I mean, obviously, it either will or it won't be. If it, those are options.
So wait, what you're saying is it could be on it, but then
right.
it could also not be on it.
Exactly.
Huh.
You know.
Okay, that's some good insight.
Really
scoops.
Have to think about it.
Yeah.
I know. I just got that information.
Where people are going to find that kind of information?
Sources
about this
say.
Podcast.
I'm curious to know, and we probably never will, if she's now rewriting any part of the second album.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no idea.
Me neither. But, I'm just throwing that out there.
I will have to say, I agree with you guys that I love it. And the one thing that it's very like, you know, we talk about, which, you know, correctly that how people can kind of react in real time releasing music. I'm just impressed how like consummate this sound is. Like towards the end, there's these like really gorgeous mm-hmm. Swirls of kind of like sentimental strings that kind of like bring to mind like The Verve and like indie
yeah.
rock in the late 90s. But it's not like it's not just that they were like tacked on. Like the whole thing sounds like super plotted out and just very well produced. The songcraft is incredible. Part of me thinks like, and you know, again, this is just guessing. I have absolutely no idea. Part of me is like, you know, was this a song that she was, even when they were together, that she was kind
that
of working
had.
On?
Yeah.
Kind of with that, you know, thought in mind, like, oh, things are crumbling
too.
A little bit and, you know, who knows where it'll end up. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, if this song in some way preceded the actual breakup. And, you know, which is a totally normal thing. You know, before people break up, it's not like you wake up one day and you're like,
you just do
that's it.
It.
We're done. It's,
yeah.
You know, usually there's a, you know, a few weeks, if not months leading up to it, especially, you know, she's been on and off with this guy for 10 years. Like,
right.
I'm sure the seed was planted before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that doesn't take away. I mean, the emotional impact of this is kind of just like harrowing, but it's also just a beautiful, wonderful song.
Yeah.
So let's listen to some of it.
Yes,
Miley
please.
Cyrus, Slide Away. All right, that was new Miley. Lindsay, let's talk about Slater Kinney. Song
Yay.
Is Reach Out from
yeah.
their new album, The Center Won't Hold. And you actually interviewed two of them, right?
Sure
or
did.
I guess the remaining
yeah, now,
band
Slater
at
Kinney.
This point.
Yeah.
And so, great piece on Billboard.com.
Oh, yeah.
Jason, you edited it.
Sure
did.
Great writing, great editing.
Wow.
And
yeah.
great reading
did
on
you
my
read,
part.
Did you read
Good
it and
reading.
Think, that's great editing right there?
I
yeah,
did.
Totally.
Yeah, that was my first.
Because he saw the byline, he was like, "This clearly needed great editing."
Right. Yeah. Oh,
that's how the thought process goes.
You know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dragging yourself.
Yes,
love
of
it.
Course.
But so, anyway,
better
so you,
me than anyone else.
So Slater Kinney. You know. Well, just talk about.
Yeah.
This song.
All right.
Say,
I got.
Say
I got
what
this.
You think about
yeah.
this. Yeah.
Well.
Produced
so,
by our fave.
Oh my gosh, St. Vincent, Annie Clark. It's the same person for anyone unaware. Yeah, she produced this album, and there are definitely some songs where you can very much hear her influence. Mm-hmm. I think it comes out the most on The Future Is Here. It just sounds super, obviously, futuristic and very synth-heavy. It's easy to imagine that falling somewhere on a St. Vincent album. But, yeah, it's Slater Kinney's 9th album called The Center Won't Hold. And I guess about a month after they had announced it, Janet Weiss, the longtime drummer of 24 years, announced that she was leaving the band, which, you know, from everything I've heard, was a total surprise to Carrie and Corin. They had announced a tour already. Everything was sort of pre-planned to go as usual. But in her, I guess her Instagram statement, she said that they were going in a new direction.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and she's not crazy about the new, like, creative
yeah,
differences.
Exactly. And who knows if... If that's that, that's totally fine and fair, and you have to respect it. I love this album.
Okay.
And I also think one of, like, my favorite parts of the conversation that we had is when I did bring this up. You know, this album still has her on it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a beautiful parting gift in a way. Like, this album is still very much a Slater Kinney album, as people know and love them. Obviously, it sounds different. They're moving a bit forward with their sound, which I think any band that has been around for a while, let alone 25 years, should be doing. But they were just saying that, you know, when it comes out, they're hoping people will stop focusing so much on the fact that Janet left and what does that mean and just listen to the album and take it as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I totally with the like evolution of the band, I mean, that's like an absolute necessity. And, you know,
yeah.
this is nothing new for them. Like when, you know, Call the Doctor was a great album in the mid-90s. You know, it's a very raw Riot Girl release,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
which was very different from what they then did on, like, the Hot Rock. And then with The
yeah.
Woods, they went in this total, like, Zeppelin-esque
yep.
Direction. Maybe my favorite record of theirs. I mean, like, The Fox is just, like,
it's so
killer.
Good.
Like, every time
yep.
it, like, sends chills
still,
down
like,
my spine when she's, like, howling. And, yeah, and then when they came back with No Cities to Love, they had, I guess... I don't know if they broke up or hiatused, whatever, but...
They broke... Yeah, they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they came back, and, like, that was an incredible record. And, you know, also, it sounded like Slater, but didn't sound like things they'd done before. So this is yet another creative leap forward.
Yeah.
I have to say, and I have not listened to the full album, so I really... This is a very knee-jerk reaction. But
mm-hmm.
from the few songs I've heard, I don't love everything, definitely. The one you picked, Reach Out, I do like
a
lot.
I love this song.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
This one's great. It has some of the, like, electronic elements a little bit you mentioned. I can sort of see why, like, Janet Weiss would maybe be put off by the kind of new sound because
sure.
Whereas before their drumming was, like, really, you know, kind of robust and organic, like, the sound on this, it's like a very 80s drum sound. It's kind of that, like,
yeah.
Kind of clean, manicured, like, robotic drum sound.
Less where explosive, you're, less brash.
Yeah, and, like, really just, like, sticking within the time signatures and, like, you know, almost feels a little inhuman. So I can see why as a drummer you're like, why am I doing this? But
totally.
That being said, Reach Out's great. Like, the guitars are angular. Like, the vocals still have that cool howl to it. One of the other songs on the album, though, Love, is, like, to me, that's, like, an experiment that doesn't work. That's kind of, like,
yeah.
Some skittering, like, goofy electronics. And it just doesn't, like, and some hand claps.
My favorite kind of electronics are goofy electronics.
Did you make it to Bad Dance yet?
To Bat Dance?
Bad,
whoa,
bad.
Bat Dance.
No, I mean, if they covered Prince's Bat Dance, that would be my new favorite song, period.
Yeah.
Because, well, actually, though, that does sound ridiculous, but they did do a cover of Boston's More Than a Feeling, yep. Like, 20 years ago, which is astonishing. It's so good. But anyways, yeah, so some of these songs I'm not that crazy about. But wait, what's Bad Dance? Is that bad?
Well, I described it as, like, somehow related to the Monster Mash.
Well, that's
in terms
great.
Of like where my mind
that's,
went. It's
that's
just
top 10 of all time.
I don't even think it's bad and I don't think it's good. It just falls into this space where I'm just so surprised to hear a song like that from them. So I would recommend listening.
All right. Jason, what do you think about
this? Yeah, I really like this album. It to me it's, you know, I actually got an advance of this album like a long time ago.
Flex.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. This is not a flex. The reason I say that is because
Carrie Brownstein popped over at your house and was like, "Jason, I got this
listen
record
to this
for
album."
You.
I happen to be in Nutley, New Jersey. I was really surprised when Janet left and basically was like this band is going in a different direction. Because this album sounds like a Sleater-Kinney album to me. I mean, you get a little bit of the St. Vincent, like, kind of pop shine. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like a Sleater-Kinney album, which is a good thing. They're one of my favorite bands. And I don't know. I was really surprised that, honestly, I could have seen this album, like, deviating way further away from what they had been doing. And I think that would have been fine as well. I mean, they did the big comeback record with No City's Love, which is amazing. They could have just, like, messed around with this second post-hiatus album, and they kind of didn't, but I'm not complaining. I think it's really good. I guess just generally, like...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're listening to this album and you're interested in, like, Sleater-Kinney has one of the best discographies in all of rock to me. Like,
there's not a dud.
There's really not.
The
like, I,
nine
I my basically my my experience with Sleater-Kinney has been like, The Woods was the first album that I heard from them, which came out in 2005. And then while they were broken up, I got into the back catalog, which is like Hot Rock and One Beat. And they're all great. They're all so great. And then they came back with No Cities to Love. And guess what? It's really great. And now they have another album. It's really great. Listen to more Sleater-Kinney. I guess that would be my advice. Just do the deep dive. It's worth it. It's just, they're great. They're a great band.
Yeah. Totally agree. All right, well, let's listen to it. But before we get to that, I wanted to add something because, you know, if we're going to do the last one, this is going to be my last chance to do like a little academic literary flex.
Do it.
So so the thing I find kind of funny about, so the title of the album is The Center Won't Hold, which is obviously a reference to The Center Cannot Hold, which comes from William Butler Yeats' poem, The Second Coming. But the funny thing is, in that poem, is the line right before The Center Cannot Hold is things fall apart.
Yeah.
And guess what happened when they released this album?
Carrie said something very similar.
Things fall apart. Oh, really?
Yeah, sorry. Oh. Not an original thought.
You ever read that book?
Well, I didn't see her say it, so.
Do you ever read, speaking of literary flexes, do you ever read Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart?
I actually have not read that. I know and love the Roots album based on it, but I've not read that
there
book.
You go.
So, whoops for me.
What if we just start a literary podcast?
That would be awesome.
I didn't even think I would listen to that.
Really?
Honestly. No.
Oh, that'd be really fun.
I don't want to listen to me talk about books.
Well, you wouldn't have to listen to it if you're
on it. Oh, that's true.
It.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to listen to it.
You would just be it.
Anyways, all right, let's listen to it. So Slater Kinney, Reach Out. After that, we will exclusively talk about literature for 5 hours. So stay tuned. All right, that was New Slater Kinney. Next up, one of my picks. Let's do Brockhampton, Boy Bye.
I love this.
So we have new Brockhampton song, new Brockhampton album coming next week, Ginger, as in, based on the Instagram post, you know, the sort of derogatory name for redheads is what I think at least, or maybe it's at least in Britain, you know, a lot of people use that as a slur. But yeah, so this is a new Brockhampton song. It's just like, it's basically why I love Brockhampton. Like, this is a posse track, like, all of them are on it.
Yeah.
They all, for the most part, have really great lyrics. Matt Champion has a line, pardon my French, he says, always got the shit like a constipated reverend. I'm like, what? Like, where does that come from? But, like, nice. I love it. Like, it's incredible.
That's nice.
I love, like, the way Bareface, raps. He has, like, this, like, real, like, laconic, like, moaning style. I feel like a lot of people are kind of content just when there's, like, so many people on a track, they're like, you know what, we'll just kind of get a, like, basic beat and, like, just rap over that. They really, like, always kind of go above and beyond. Like, so they grabbed a really interesting sample for this song from an Iranian singer. I was not familiar with this person beforehand. I 100% went to Who Sampled because I was like, you know, it's obviously a sample. And I was like, who the hell is this? It's Iranian singer Dariush. And it just, it's like this guitar, kind of staccato guitar picking sound, but also with this kind of like lush, soft rock, romantic balladry. It's just like and it gives the whole thing like kind of a little energy with the like guitar picking,
definitely.
But then like a nice laid back vibe with the kind of like soft rock type element to it. So it's just, like, a really, like, crazy, like, inventive sample. And then them, you know, just, like, spitting a variety of things
so
about
good.
Constipation.
Yeah, which, it's fantastic.
Know. But yeah, I mean, so what do you guys think about it?
I love this. It's, like, one of the most immediately grabbing songs that I've heard in a long time, if ever. Like, from this, seriously, like, the beat and, like, the opening verse, just the way it grabs you so fast, like, you have no choice but to be on board with it, really.
Yeah, and they're good at that, and I can't think of the name of it, but they have another song on the last album that just, like a siren. It just, like, blares in your face, and you're like, wow, I guess this
the
is
opening track.
Yeah, the opening track.
Which I'm blanking on.
But yeah, I love the title of this song. Like, them, like, a boy band owning the boy by concept is very fun to me.
I didn't even think of that, because I forgot that was their American boy band was their, New Orleans is the song.
Yes. I liked this song.
Oh.
I love Brockhampton. I can't wait to hear their next record.
Ginger.
I don't know. Iridescence from last year was my least favorite project of theirs.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
And I want them to recover and kind of get their mojo back a little bit from the saturation projects. So we'll see. You know, this one is definitely in your face, but it was a little less compelling than I wanted it to be. And I'm super excited to check out this project, but you know, I don't know.
All right. Wow. Well, I guess we couldn't agree on every song in this podcast.
No, we couldn't. That's what makes Must Hear Music crackle.
That brings the snap, crackle, pop to this.
Oh, boy.
Rice Krispies treat of a podcast.
Who would be who?
Yeah, I would be pop. You would be crackle.
Joe. I
feel like you're snap.
Oh, yeah. Joe would be snap.
I'm
you're
for
crackle.
Sure crackle.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right. And if we were the three bakers from Cinnamon Toast Crunch... Which one would you be?
Oh, Wendell, because that's the only one I know.
Yeah, it's the only name I know, too.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
We'll have to come back. I would be Toucan Sam. I would just kind of like come in and be like, hey.
Now oh, yeah, you'd be Toucan Sam. Lindsay would be the Trix Rabbit.
I could see
I like that. Whatever happened to Trix?
They're still
doing
their
thing. I think
they
still exist.
I would certainly be Count Chocula.
Ooh, I love that.
Certainly.
Yeah. I'm totally into that. Yeah.
All this right, is
anyways.
Fun.
This is fun. Yeah. Let's just have a cereal
Oh, my God.
Podcast.
I would so have a cereal podcast.
Oh, let's call it
cereal.
And C-E-R-E-A-L.
Yeah.
And that's just like a narrative
on,
of like.
Fruity Mummy could be a good guess.
I'll actually do this in my spare time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go. I would
oh, my God. And
the,
instead
this.
Of opening music, you just hear just someone eat, eating
someone
cereal.
Ugh. Disgusting.
Oh,
so good.
But it should be like a docuseries where it's like. Jason saw Lindsay eating Lucky Charms that day. And me just being like, yeah, I was surprised to see her eating Lucky Charms because, you know, it's her fifth favorite cereal, but I guess she was in the
mood
for
it. Yeah, it's actually pretty low down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those marshmallows are disgusting.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know.
Even as a kid, I was like, this is a little
actually,
too much.
As a kid, no. One of my friends, sorry, I'll keep this brief. One of my friend's parents would always buy Lucky Charms and we were over.
You just said Lucky Charms, by the way.
Lucky Charms.
Which, it was the off-brand. No,
oh,
kidding.
Yeah. They couldn't afford the real thing. Fair enough. Yeah.
I don't even want to tell this story.
All right, we're going to listen to this song, and if you want to tell the story, we can do it after this.
Lindsay okay. had a story to say about Lucky Charms, but couldn't tell it right at this moment. What was she hiding?
All right, Brockhampton, song is Boy Bye.
Wi-Fi, keep it in the bathroom, hide it with my dry eye. Put it in the vacuum, I got love for my label. 15 million on the table, none of my niggas are stable. Need a personal connection, I just want to feel you, baby. Being sober made me realize how poorly I've been behaving, My bitch is so pretty, pretty. I get cash like really, really. Tell the DJ, man, he ain't sick, cause he ain't playing his, he's silly, silly. My bitch is so pretty, pretty. I get cash like really, really.
Get it.
Tell the DJ, man, he ain't sick, cause he ain't playing his, he's silly, silly.
Boy Bye.
Next and last. Let's talk about your pick, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Georgia Smith featuring Burna Boy. Song is Be Honest.
Dynamic duo.
Be Honest. What do you think about this?
Let me tell you, honestly, I love this
song. Wow.
Yeah.
Shock.
I was so excited when I heard that the two of them were going to collaborate again.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a big fan of Georgia Smith for a while. But one of the things I've always wished is that she would do something more upbeat, that she was the lead
sure.
on. Because she's done that where she's the featured artist and they're, you know, they're a little more fun and playful than the songs on her debut album. But it's nice to see this is a Georgia Smith track. She's mm-hmm. fully owning it, but it is also, it's so good. And, like, it's very danceable, which is a little new for her. And Burna Boy right now is just such an ideal collaborator.
Yeah,
he's burning up. That was the headline that we used.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. It was so
nice.
Obvious.
Yeah.
So, of course, we went for it.
Yeah,
but
you gotta do it.
Yeah, I like how confident she sounds. Honestly, the production is, it's easy to imagine this being like a Drake dancehall track in some ways. And I think that's probably why it's very catchy to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I like this a lot. And I think what you said was totally right. It's nice to hear her. I mean, she has an incredible voice with a lot of like soulful grit to it,
mm-hmm.
And kind of in a little more of an upbeat sound.
Yeah.
Although, you know, that being said, this isn't like crazy fast or anything like that. You know,
right.
It's still pretty chill. But yeah, and I love just the like kind of acoustic guitar flavoring
mm-hmm.
In the background. Burna Boy is great. He recently was with Beyonce on the Lion King soundtrack,
yeah.
His album African Giant. You know, he's a Nigerian singer-songwriter, and it's breaking through more so than most Nigerian singer-songwriters tend to into the U.S. mainstream, which is awesome. And it's a really solid album. Similarly, pretty chilled. Georgia is a guest on his album. Mm-hmm. They just have great chemistry.
Yeah.
So I'm into this song. Yeah. Jason, what do you
think? I don't really have much to add. I think Lindsay touched upon the confidence. Like, Georgia sounds fantastic on this song.
Yeah.
The collaboration is great. The song itself is great. But just to hear her kind of blooming into what she wants to become is pretty compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll take it. Let's listen to it. Georgia Smith featuring Burna Boy. Song is Be Honest.
About the way your body twisting, make me lose control in a distinct boy. And it's happy cause I'm thinking of us. Don't go throw me under the bus.
All right, that was Georgia Smith and Burna Boy. Before we wrap up, I wanted to give a quick shout out to co-host Past, especially original co-host Erica Ramirez. So when we began this must-hear journey 5 years ago, off and on, it was myself, Jason, and Erica Ramirez. Since then, we've had wonderful voices.
That feels like so long ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago was a long time. Oh, like, that's like another world, basically. Yeah. Lindsay wasn't even born.
I know.
Which is the crazy thing.
Yeah.
I hadn't kind of written her character yet.
True.
But anyways, and other people we've had on who have been fantastic. I'm probably going to forget someone, but Natalie Weiner, Aaron Strecker, Denise Warner, Carl Lamar, Trevor Anderson, Andrew Unterberger, Tatiana Sirisano.
Chris Payne?
Chris Payne, I think. John Norris has guested.
Yeah. Taylor Weatherby?
Taylor Weatherby, yes. We've had Taylor
Shout out
on.
To the entire staff.
Who am I? I feel like there's someone else.
Jeff Benjamin.
Mm.
Because I've distinctly remember talking about Sheck West with you and Jeff.
Oh my God! Yes,
and
I remember
you
that.
You guys being like, what's going on? Anyway.
But especially thank. I mean, to both of you, really, it's a pleasure and an honor. Maybe honor's overselling it, but it really is a delight sitting down with both of you on the mic to talk about new music. And especially Jason. No offense, Lindsay, but you
None
know, 5 years is pretty decent. Lindsay, you are an essential addition. I mean, but really, what, 3 years Thanks. Now at this point? Like, that's not been to sneeze at either.
I do want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I was so excited the first time I did it. Podcasting has been really fun, and I will miss it dearly.
Yeah. Well, but there's wonderful stuff
yes,
coming
Yes, there's
down
so
the
much
pike.
More.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I love doing this. I always feel like a shamble of myself in terms of entering and being on this and exiting. Like, I always just kind of like, I always show up late. You guys are always way
true.
More prepared than I am.
Also true.
I just am here to make dumb jokes and talk about pop music.
But we need that.
Yeah, I love doing
what's,
that.
What's not to like about that?
Yeah. I really enjoy spending time with you guys, just in general, talking
I know,
about music.
I'm never going to see you both again.
I will say that before we started recording, I do want to figure out, and like Joe said, there's going to be different podcasts that all three of us are on, but I do love doing this with the two of you, and I'm hopeful that we're going to figure out something, a project for the three of us
that
in the future.
That is very possible.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. But most importantly, really, thank you for everyone who listens, especially the longtime regular listeners who tweet suggestions at us or corrections or literally anything. It really is. It means a lot that like you listen and care and reach out. So feel free to keep tweeting recommendations at us. My New Year's resolution in August as this ends
because
I feel like I'm so bad at like tweeting about stuff I like, so especially now that I'm not doing this I'm making a point to tweet about songs I like
more,
so
I really like when you tweet because that's you tweet
idea.
Like dumb puns that I enjoy.
It's pretty much I tweet like one dumb pun a month and that's my Twitter presence.
Good.
But anyways, thank you as always for listening. This has been a delight, and stay tuned to Billboard Podcast because there is a lot of really cool stuff coming up. And this is truth. All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.